don't get hit by a car, or don't get hit by a stray bullet, or some fake bomb. How many of you are absolutely sure that you are doing exactly what he wants you to do? And how many of you are absolutely sure that you're not going to walk out of this room and don't get hit by a car, or don't get hit by a stray bullet, or some fake that somebody's trying to lift up to the roof, or some room falls on your head, or whatever, heart attack? Are you absolutely sure? Do you know when you're going to die? Oh, we're asking you. For those of you who thought that Islam was that black stuff that Farrakhan is talking about, for those of you who thought that Islam was whatever people think of Islam, other than what we said today, for those of you who now know what is Islam and why you should be a Muslim, we'd like to ask you, not in front of everybody, we'd like to ask you to accept this way of life that the Creator has ordered you, has prepared for you to live, and that you come into the fold of Islam and become a Muslim. Become a Muslim like so many of the people, like Mike Wallace said on 50 Minutes, are doing today in America. And I'd like to tell you something in my final words, that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who is the one who the book that Allah sent, the last revelation, after the book of Moses and the books of Jesus and the books of Abraham and David and all the other prophets, the Quran, after he sent those books, he sent the Quran as the final revelation. This Prophet Muhammad, who is the best example for all human beings, he told us that Islam is going to spread as far as night and day, and there's not going to be a house that Allah is going to leave except Islam is going to go into that house. So you won't be able to get away from it. There's going to come a time, grandmothers listening to my voice, mothers, fathers that listen to my voice, there's going to come a time, it's going to be inevitable. If you don't accept Islam, somebody in your family is going to accept Islam. Your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your uncles, your aunts, somebody in your family is going to accept Islam. And you're going to be hearing, if it's the will of Allah, the same message, maybe better than what you heard today. You're not going to be able to get away from this Islam. It's going to go into every single house, whether it's a desert house or a city house. So we're asking you to come back to the natural way of life, to come back to the way that you were created, is to submit yourself willfully, lovingly, without any compulsion, to the will of the Creator of the heavens and earth, who is above the heavens. He's not everywhere. He's not in this water. He's not in this microphone. He's not in my heart. He's not in your heart. We don't carry the Creator of the heavens and the earth around with us. He's above the heavens that he created in a manner that is befitting his majesty. We ask you to accept this way of life, the way of life of Moses, the way of life of Jesus, the way of life of Abraham, all the prophets of Islam. This is what we ask you to do. And these and other reasons that we haven't mentioned are the reasons why you should be a Muslim. And don't delay saying, oh, well, you know, I got a little time, you know, I'm thinking about becoming a Muslim, but, you know, I just can't stop smoking cigarettes. That's your excuse? That's no excuse. Accept Islam and then work on stop smoking cigarettes. I just like girls. I just gotta have some girls. I gotta have a girlfriend. Okay, we know it's a sin to have a girlfriend. Accept Islam. Allah will forgive you of your sins. And we'll work on that. I just love gambling. I can't take this. If once I can get rid of this gambling, I'll become a Muslim. Accept Islam. Allah will forgive you of your sins. And we'll work on the gambling issue. Don't use these petty excuses and these vices as an excuse. It's better for you to come into Islam right now, foot dragging and half stepping, than to go out those doors right now, full stepping, get hit by a cookie truck, and die in a state of non-Islam. It's better for you. It's better for you to accept Islam. So, in conclusion, I'd like to say that those of you who are Muslims, we have the duty to spread this word. Continue to spread this word of Islam, and don't let anything deter you from spreading this word of Islam. For those of you who are in Rutgers University, whatever college or high school you go to, or Muslim, whatever job you work on, Don't be afraid of inviting people to Islam. Don't ever be afraid of talking about Allah and the beautiful benefits that He's going to give us in this life and in the next. For those of you who are non-Muslim, even though you may not have understood what I said, even though you may not agree with what I said, at least, consider Islam. Consider some of the things that I said. And at most, before you leave this room, you don't have to have some water sprinkled on your head to become a Muslim. You don't have to get this big pool of water and you be dumped into this pool of water. You don't have to turn the lights out, put a rope around or a handkerchief around your eyes and be initiated by being beat down. All you have to do is become a Muslim. You don't have to fill out a form to send some cash, $500, to become a Muslim. Your yearly annual membership. All you have to do is to say these words. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except the one and true living creator, Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad, not Elijah Muhammad, not Billy Muhammad down the street with the bow tie, that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam 1400 years ago, is the finality of prophets and messengers. If you say this, we don't care what you did before you came into this room. You can be on the planet 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. We don't care what sin you committed. You're going to be forgiven for every single thing that you did. And you know what you did. And you know what you've been doing. If you say these words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. All your sins are forgiven. The tall ones, the short ones, the black ones, the white ones, the intentional ones, the unintentional ones. Everything you've ever done in your life, you're forgiven for it. I don't care if bank robbery, homosexuality, whatever you did, your slate will be clean. Clean, and you will be just like the day you came out of your mother's womb. If you say those words. And you will join the brotherhood of 1 billion fastly growing people in the world called the Muslims. And lastly, you will receive salvation. You will see that which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and the heart of a human being could ever even, or the mind of a human being could ever even imagine. You will receive things that He has promised us in the Quran. So, I thank you once again for inviting me here. I pray that Allah, He opens your heart to Islam. He allows you to come into the fold of Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of you who are Muslim strong in the effort of bringing people to Islam and to loosen the knot in your tongue and make the people understand you and make this task easy for you. And I pray that you who are non-Muslim, like myself who was a non-Muslim, come into the fold of Islam before the day that you have to stand in front of your Lord. The day which is a dreadful day. A day which we won't be able to make any more excuses. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Anything that I said that is correct is from Allah. And anything that I said that is incorrect is from myself. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We have some questions here. Who are the Ansarullah? The Ansarullah. I don't know how to spell it, but I want to know what this is about. Well, really, it doesn't make any difference if you didn't know how to spell it or not, because spelling it correctly or incorrectly is more worthy than what they're about. The Ansarullah or group of deviants, a group of fanatics, a group of thought ravens out of their mind individuals, and they're not Muslim. I repeat, they are not Muslim. And let me tell you, non-Muslims who are listening, it is a very serious thing for a Muslim to say that another Muslim is not a Muslim. It's very serious. This is a major sin in Islam to call a Muslim a non-Muslim once he's a Muslim. I'm telling you that the Ansarullah are not Muslims. But there are people who are misleading people, making people think they're Muslims. If you want some details about them, then I would suggest, number one, that you go to some classes with the real Muslims, learn what Islam is about, and then you'll know that those individuals are not Muslims. Please address for the non-Muslims the hijab. The hijab has become a fashion statement. Many non-Muslims that are ignorant of Islam think that wearing the hijab and openly engaging in haram behavior is okay. Because please emphasize that because someone might be dressed like a Muslim and the behavior is un-Islamic. Also, many of these people engaged in this behavior will say it's okay because Allah knows what is in my heart. Also, please tell them they should find out what Islam is and what Islam isn't. Yes, absolutely. The back of the note, they should find out what Islam is and what Islam isn't. If they find out what Islam is, then they'll know what isn't Islam, for sure. As for the hijab is the way you see the women dress. This is called hijab. And we don't want to get into detail on why the Muslim woman wears this. We don't want to get into detail. Because it's not that important. What's important is for you to know who is your creator. Because if you don't know who your creator is, even if you're dressed like that, it's not going to be worth that much. For those women who are not dressed like these women, and you know who your creator is, for that aspect, you'll be better off than the woman who's dressed like this. Knowing why a Muslim woman dresses like this is not important. First, you should find out who is the one who told her to dress like this. Once you find out who he is, then it will be easy to understand why he told her to dress like this. And Allah knows that. As for the Muslims who act un-Islamic, Allah says in the Quran, don't ask about them, ask about yourself. Don't ask about them. They are going to be questioned about what they did, and you are going to be questioned about what you do. We're human beings, we make mistakes, we commit sins. But for the Muslims who behave properly, who do what Allah says to do and what the Prophet Muhammad says to do, then this is a good example we should look at. And that's the most important thing. As for the Muslims who do other than that, may Allah guide them and forgive them of all of their sins and all of them. I have been a Muslim for many years. Someone told me that because I did not take Shahada publicly, I was not a Muslim. Please explain, is this true? If so, would you ask all the Muslims to take their Shahada today so I will not be singled out? That's really good. I like that one. Well, if you didn't take your Shahada publicly, taking Shahada for the non-Muslims, I'll explain it. Taking Shahada means what I just asked you to do. To say, I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, that's called taking your Shahada, meaning you become a Muslim. Once you say that, you become a Muslim. That means taking your Shahada. The person who accepts Islam does not have to take their Shahada publicly. That's number one. Number two, they don't have to say it in front of witnesses. A Muslim doesn't have to go out, call up Sister Fatima on the phone, come on over, Sister Fatima, Gail's going to take us to Shahada. And he'd be waiting for Fatima to come over. Gail died. What's going to happen to her? Oh, she had a good intention. No. No. Taking your Shahada is very simple. You're standing on the corner waiting for the bus. Person comes up to you. You're a woman. Even if it's a man, you try to be as modest as you can. He says, I'm interested in Islam. I think I'm ready. You tell him, repeat after me. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship at the peace except Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Say it to him in Arabic first and then in English. If he says it after you, he's a Muslim. You ain't no witness. Alright? Can you discuss the beauty and blessings you receive when Muslim women cover? We'll save that one. InshaAllah. Come back to that one. My first time hearing this is Allah is not a spirit. If Allah is not a spirit, then what is He? If you can't see Allah, if He is not omnipresent, then where is He? Just only above the heavens? This is a very, very good question. And I hope, and it may be, but I hope this is not from a Muslim. But if it is from a Muslim, no problem, because a lot of Muslims don't know this, that Allah is not a spirit. And Allah is above the heavens. In the Islamic belief system, most the correct belief is to believe that Allah is above the heavens. Allah says in the Quran, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. Do you have any sense of security from the one who is above the heavens that he won't make the earth swallow you up and convulse on you? Do you have any sense of security from the one who is above the heavens? In another verse in the Quran, Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. The beneficent one, Allah is above his throne, which is above the heavens. The correct belief in Islam, which is unlike any other belief in the world. There's no other religion in the world that believes this except the Muslims. And I'm absolutely convinced and absolutely whatever. Sure. I'm absolutely sure that there's no other religion in the world that believes in God the way we do. And I hate to use the word God. Allah. We're the only religious people in the world that believe that the Creator is above the heavens and He's not everywhere. For the Muslims, we do not believe that Allah is everywhere. Because if you believe that Allah, God, the Creator, is everywhere, then you have divided Him up. And, number two, if you say that Allah, the Creator, is everywhere, then you have to be saying that He's in everything. I'll say it again. This may be quick in your mind. If you say that Allah, the Creator, is everywhere, then He has to be in everything. You can't be everywhere and not be in everything. How can you? Think about it. In order to be everywhere, you have to be in everything. And if you say that Allah, the Creator, your God, my God, is everywhere, meaning that He's in everything, do you know what you're saying? You're saying that Allah is in human buttocks. I'm going to say it like this. You're saying that Allah is in feces. You're saying that the Creator is in those sewer holes out there. You're saying that every time one of those people out in the street takes a blast on some crack, they're smoking Allah. They're smoking Allah. Every time a person urinates, they're urinating the Creator of the heavens out of their orbit. That's what you're saying when you say Allah is everywhere. Because if He's everywhere, He has to be in everything. So you mean to tell me when your child comes out of your womb, Allah came out? Because He's everywhere. You see how silly this is? This doesn't even gel with the most illogical mind. This is past being illogical. No, the Creator is above His creation, but He's everywhere by His hearing, by His vision, by His power, by His knowledge. He sees everything, and His vision is everywhere. He knows everything, and His knowledge is everywhere. He hears everything, and His hearing is everywhere. And His power is over everything, everywhere. But He Himself is above the heavens in a manner that is befitting His sublimity, His magnificence, and His tremendous. He is over the heavens in a manner that is befitting His majesty. And He is not a spirit, because if He was a spirit, then He would be created. If Allah was a spirit, He would be created, because spirits are created. Allah is not created, He's the creator. And everything else is created. Just think about it. If you say Allah is a spirit, a spirit had a beginning and a spirit has an end. Just like a tree has a beginning and a tree has an end. The stars have a beginning and they're definitely going to fizzle out. The scientists are saying it. The sun is the greatest star in the sky. It's just fizzling out right now. This is a proven fact. So if you're saying that Allah is a spirit, a spirit is just one of those things that he created. Now you're saying he has a beginning. And if he has a beginning, like those who believe that Jesus is God, if he has a beginning, he has to have an end. There's no way you can say something has a beginning and it doesn't have an end. There's no way you can get around it. So this is why we say Allah is not everywhere. He's not in you. He's not in me. He's above the heavens, as he says he is, and he's not a spirit because spirits are created. Oh, they're reminding me that the Ansar group that we talked about earlier have denounced Islam. They now are called Native American Hebrews. I don't think they're called Native American Hebrews. I think they're called the Nubian Hebrews. Nubian Hebrew Islamic mispronounced. Native American Hebrews. So they're called the Nubian Hebrews. Right. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. There's still some Ansar that are hanging around. Okay. If we have girlfriends before or after we became Muslims, if they aren't showing any signs of accepting Islam, should we try to give them dawah or leave them alone? Giving somebody dawah means invite them to Islam for those non-Muslims who don't know. If we have girlfriends or boyfriends before we became Muslims, this question seems as though you still have contact with your old girlfriend. Is that what you're saying? I hope you're not saying that. But if you do have contact, I mean, if you both you still work together. If you still have contact with your old girlfriend before you became a Muslim, or your old boyfriend before you became a Muslim, then you should direct your old girlfriend to the Muslim sisters, and you should direct your old boyfriend to the Muslim brothers. So the brothers can talk to him, and the sisters can talk to her, but you yourself shouldn't talk to them. Because if they were your old girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, you may see him get a little thing there in your heart. You know, Satan is real, you know. You said that we should become Muslim and that Islam has no confusion. Well, if one is not a Muslim, how do we differentiate Islam from the nation of Islam when they say they are Muslims too? What is the difference? There are people in the United States and around the world, around the Western world, men who get sex changes. There are men in America that get their... There are men who get their testicles removed. And they go to the doctor and get hormones shots and get breast. And they think and say that they're women. Just because he did that, does that make him a woman? Just because he says he's a woman? So just because somebody says they're Muslim, that makes them a Muslim? Huh? No. There's some criteria to be a Muslim. Number one, we have to believe in Allah. When a person is a Muslim, he believes in Allah. Okay? Louis the Liar, Mr. Farrakhan, he says he's a Muslim too. Right? Okay. He says that he believes in Allah. I believe in Allah, he believes in Allah. But how do I believe in Allah, and how does he believe in Allah? The Muslims, those 1 billion people that we mentioned in the beginning, we believe that Allah is the creator of everything. He's not black, he's not white, he's not a man, he's not a woman, he's not a tree, he's not a star, etc. The nation of Islam, they believe that Allah was born in the year, in the 18th century, excuse me, the 19th century, yes, the 19th century, they believe that Allah, the creator who created you, me, everything, that Allah was born. His father was black, named Alfonso, and his mother was a white lady named Baby G. They got together in the hills of Europe, in some caves, from the hills and cave sides of Europe, back in the 1800s, and out came a half-white, slick-haired-looking man named Master Farad Muhammad, and he's Allah. That's what Farrakhan teaches. That's one of the main differences. That's one of the main differences between us and them. All right? We believe in angels. We believe, the real Muslims, we believe that angels are created by Allah and they help the human being. They do work for Allah and they help the human being. Some of them move the clouds. They move, they make the rain come down because by Allah's permission. They form the baby in the womb of the mother, give the shape and give the color by Allah's power. And they do a lot of other things for the human being. Farrakhan's group, the Nation of Islam, they believe that angels are all black. Right? The real Muslims believe in the Quran. And that's a final revelation for all human beings. And that you don't look to any other book except the Quran and the example of the Prophet Muhammad. Farrakhan's group uses the Bible, the Quran, and some other thing I forgot. Some other book. Fall of America, Our Savior Has Arrived, How to Eat, Volume 1 and Number 2. This is what they believe in. The real Muslims believe that after you die, Allah is going to take your dust, your body deteriorates. He's going to take that dust, make it back into foam, put flesh back on it. You're going to stand up in front of him and answer for everything that you did, all the cash that you earned, where you earned it, and how you earned it, and where you spent it, and a whole lot of other things. You're going to be judged. Farrakhan's group says, now, that's spooky. Don't believe in that. The real thing is that when we die, that's it. It's overdose, as they say. All right? And that the real paradise is getting some of this earth that we can call our own and getting rid of the white folk who's the devil. That's Farrakhan's proof. That there's no life after death. Is that enough differences right there? We believe that the devil is created by Allah and we can't see him, and he whispers to the human being to do evil. They believe that the white man is the devil. And there's no good in the white man. All of them are devils, even the ones that are not even born yet. You see a white pregnant woman, she's a devil, and that baby that didn't come out of her womb yet is a devil too. That's what Farrakhan believes. And there's a whole lot of other things they believe. We pray 5 times a day, facing towards Mecca, in the manner that Allah mentions in the Quran. They pray the way Elijah Muhammad taught them to pray. Standing like this, with both of their hands up like this. If they wear bow ties on, maybe in some direction, I don't know. Chicago, someplace like this, I don't know. We believe that Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah. 1400 years ago. They believe that Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. There's a lot of differences. In short, they are not a sect of Muslims. They are not Muslims. I repeat, they are not Muslims. They are not Muslims. And I would rather eat with a Jew or a Christian than to eat with them at the table. They're the enemies of Muslims. Is it good, and we have to pray, a few minutes is time for our prayer. Is it good for a sister to become Muslim from the attraction of the conduct of a Muslim man? And how far should he go in helping? Well, we already answered how far he should go. We should send her to the masjid and let the sister talk to her. But as far as her accepting Islam because of some attraction she has for a Muslim man, well, we human beings, we're going to be attracted to each other. I mean, you can't get rid of that. But if she accepts Islam for that reason, I'm not going to say that her Islam won't be accepted by Allah. I don't have the ability to say this. But I will say that she should reevaluate what Islam is about and her purpose in life, and she should reevaluate why she wants to accept Islam. How is it that if one became Muslim, his or her life will be better when you have Muslims who do worse things than non-Muslims? Please explain. Because if that Muslim who's committing sin dies, he's going to go to paradise because he believes in Allah and his messenger. The person who seemingly does all these good deeds, but they don't accept Islam and die, they're going to the hellfire forever. Yes. Absolutely. If Allah chooses. If Allah chooses, he will punish that Muslim. All non-Muslims will go to hell. I have to say it. All non-Muslims will go to hell. Some Muslims will go to hell. All Muslims will go to paradise eventually. But no non-Muslim will go to paradise. Why? Because even though they committed all these good deeds, the worst sin that anybody could commit is what? To say that Allah has a partner. See, think about it. You know, okay, he smokes crack, he smokes cigarettes, he drank whiskey, he robbed banks. But to say that the creator of the heavens and the earth, to say that the creator of the heavens and the earth has a son, is worse than anything you can do. Why? Let's just think about it. It's a part of a human being's nature to feel good. That's a part of the human being's nature to want to feel good. Now, I'm not justifying getting high. Getting high is a major sin. But it's a part of the human being's nature to want to feel good. Using coke makes you feel good. Using opium, codeine, makes you feel good. Smoking a blend, or whatever they call it nowadays, roguey, we used to call it back in the day. Smoking some weed, or, that's the white kids. Smoke, right? White kids say that, right? We don't say weed. We say herb, right? Grass, not grass, right? So let me coke that as they word, right? Right? But whatever it is, smoking that dope makes you feel good. That's natural. But it's not natural to say that God has a son. Sex is natural, isn't it? Yeah, we know that. We know that. We're not talking about with your husband and wife. Sex is natural, and the feeling of sex is a natural feeling. Right? Allah gave the human being that feeling. And we should try to fulfill that feeling. Now a person says, well, I ain't got to get married. You know, he looked good. Hey, what's up? Right? But it's not natural to say that God was born. Think about what you're saying. God is born? That's not natural. That's unnatural. It's natural to want to get paid. It's natural to want to have some cash in your pocket. That's natural. Every human being has that naturally inside of them. They want to have some paper in their pocket, right? But it's not natural to say that God was put on a cross at the hands of somebody that he created, and he couldn't even protect himself. He was put on a cross, and he died. And think about it. There's a verse in the Bible that says that when Jesus was put on the cross, and the Christians believe Jesus is God, and the Son of God, that when Jesus was put on the cross, he said, they say he said, "Ela, ela, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you leaving me?" Is this the statement of a God? Just think about this. How can God, in looking down off a cross, say, you know, the other day I was in the airport, I bought a Newsweek magazine, I had the story of Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor said, as he was sitting in his wheelchair, he said he had this dream. And we all know Richard Pryor, he's real funny, right? So he told this joke. He said, one day I was dreaming, I was sitting in my wheelchair, and in the church, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Rich?" He said, "Yes." He said, "This is the Lord." He said, "Yes, yes, what Lord?" He says, "I want you to do something for me. Come a little bit closer. This is last month's Newsweek. Come a little bit closer. I have something to tell you." He said, "Anything, Lord, anything." He said, "Can you please help me down from here?" Now, this is not to make fun. But think about, see, this joke that Richard Pryor said, this is not even funny. You know why? Because it shows the reality of how people have taken the creator of the heavens and earth and brought him down to a lowly position. Because that statement that Richard Pryor made is exactly what Christians are saying that he said in the Bible. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Please, somebody help me. Now, do you think that the Muslim who commits a sin, no matter what kind of sin it is, and may he get far away from those sins. I mean, do you think that Muslim who believes correctly in Allah, though he commits a sin or she commits a sin, is going to be worse off than a person who takes their garbage out every week, every day on time, and helps the old lady across the street but believes that God has a son is going to be better off than that person? You believe that God was created and born on December 25th? You think you're better than a person who drinks wine? I mean, think about this. You see that the creator of the heavens and the earth was created himself? What could be worse than that? What could be worse than saying God is born? That God, the creator, is born and he died. If he died, then who was running this universe when he was here? Who? The Holy Ghost was. You can't say the Holy Ghost was because they're all equal, remember? You can't say Jesus was doing it because, remember, he died. Who was running this universe? Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, if you think that God dies and he has a beginning and an end, if you think that God would die for a millisecond, not an hour, for a millisecond, then this whole universe will be destroyed. Because the heavens and the earth is in his hands. And if he were to die, it's over for us. So if the Muslim commits sins, and they should not commit sins, but we're human, then if he turns to his Lord and says, "Oh Allah, please forgive me," and he doesn't put this brother in between himself and his Lord, saying, "Oh Anwar, Brother Anderson, Brother Anwar, am I right here? Anwar, would you please, I'm calling on Allah through Anwar." Well, no person in their right mind is going to do that. Then what's the difference between Jesus and him? Except that Jesus was a prophet. So if that Muslim calls on Allah by himself, then Allah will forgive him. But no one will be forgiven who says that God has a partner. No one will be forgiven that says that Allah, the Creator, was born, or he died, or he had a mother. Just think about that. The one whom Allah created gave birth to him. All you women who have children, can you really imagine, in my conclusion, can you really imagine that the baby that came out of your womb, all that afterbirth, the placenta, all that stuff that you're going to have to eventually wash off, that beautiful bundle of joy created you, you carried that baby for a full term or maybe prematurely, 9 months in your womb. What you ate, it nourished itself from what you ate. What you drank, it nourished itself from what you drank. And then when the baby comes out, it can't even defend itself. A humble little creature that can't even speak intelligibly. You're saying that child is your creator? That's what you're saying when you're saying Mary gave birth to God. She had to take the baby and wash it off, but that's the same creature that created her? When did it have time to create her when it was in her womb? I mean, think about it. These concepts are foreign to the very logic of human beings. So that Muslim who commits a sin, may Allah forgive him. But the only way a person who is not a Muslim is going to be forgiven for their sin is that they come to Islam and they become a Muslim. That's it. Because the sin that they're committing is greater than any sin. They're not worshiping Allah. They're worshiping something that he created. And I think we don't have enough time. That's it. Time for prayer. Maybe we can finish the questions. The next one says, how long does it take to actually become a true Muslim? After Salah? Okay. Well, the answer is this, after Salah. It takes as long as it takes. A true Muslim is only known by Allah. I can't tell this brother he's a true Muslim. He can't tell me I'm a true Muslim. Allah knows who's true because I can't look in his heart. But Allah knows who's true. As for the outward appearance, that's all we can deal with. What the person does outwardly. And Allah knows that.
First of all, we're making the tape of this lecture, inshallah ta'ala. And so if people want to hang around, some of the tapes will be available this evening. After that, you can see Brother Daoud and myself in Philadelphia to give copies of this.
I mean, tonight. But after you die and you leave here, this earth, you're going somewhere, whether you accept it or know about it, you're going there and you are responsible because you have been told. Even if you have rejected it. Because the object of this life is not for you to sit here and after this do nothing and have no effect. Every cause has an effect. And you came into this life for a cause and a purpose. It must have an effect. It must want some sort of effect. You don't go to school to stay there. You don't go to work not to get paid. You don't build a house and don't move into it. You don't get a suit made and don't wear it. You don't grow up as a child and don't become an adult. You don't work without expecting a reward. You cannot live without expecting to die. You cannot die without the expectancy of the grave. And you cannot expect that the grave is the end. Because that would mean that God has created you for a finished purpose. And you have not went to school or worked or done anything or killed a wife or killed the men of your children or seen here tonight for a foolish purpose, how could you assign to God something less than yourself?